110 days in Ann Arbor, Michigan, on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody, to Buckeye Bar Guys here on Buckeye Bar Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm John.
Today's day is Thursday, January 13th, 2022. And we got a pretty quick one tonight. Just one topic really on the thing, but it's a lot of moving parts today with the coaching staff. So we just kind of wanted to give our reactions to all the coaches that were hired, the coaches that were let go or decided to leave. So we will start off with, we're going to start off, this is a couple days old, but what's his first name? Is it Greg Fry?
Justin Fry.
Justin Fry. Greg Fry's who? That's a quarterback's quarterback.
I don't remember.
Justin
Fry. I don't remember Greg Fry. I know the name, but that's the, yeah. Isn't that the guy? He was a quarterback in the 80s, wasn't he?
Yeah. Justin Fry. So he's the new offensive line coach. So I believe our last episode, Stud was already gone by that point. So we talked about that.
It was,
and we talked about that Justin Fry was going to most likely be the next offensive line coach. That at least that's what all the major reports says. So that's official. He is the offensive line coach. Seems like a lot of good positive news. And, you know, obviously he worked with a younger guy, energetic, has always had pretty good offensive lines. You know, I'm assuming he's the run game, going to be the run game coordinator. I believe that was in the release. Pretty good news all around. I definitely think we needed a new kind of new direction there. Stud, it was obviously, Stud's had some really good offensive lines over his years. I think a lot of people want to poo-poo that he hasn't. I think a lot of people have some recency bias that how, you know, different times the line looked this year. But for the most part, Stud's always had some pretty good offensive lines. So, I thought he always did good as an offensive line coach. You know, he took a couple different directions in recruiting that maybe I would have took if I was in the same position. But obviously, I'm not in that position. He was, I think that, but as his back injuries were getting worse and worse, I think it just was becoming harder and harder for him to kind of move around and do the duties of coaching, basically a 365 year job that, you know, coaching in college entails with recruiting and everything. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm glad with the new directions. Just your thoughts on Justin Fry as the new offensive line coach.
Yeah. I definitely agree with you. My thoughts on it, you know, he's younger, of course, then. So he doesn't have the experience that Stud has. I think a lot of the recruiting with Stud, you know, it was always taken under a microscope every single time he missed on somebody. I'm not sure that was actually fair with him, but he missed a lot this past year. And I think it was, I don't want to say laziness. I think it was because, you know, he wasn't feeling healthy. But, you know, Fry, he hasn't been as successful as a recruiter as what Stud is, but he's really young. I mean, we're talking about a guy that's like 38 right now. So he's just coming into his own. We all know that, you know, younger guys that they relate to the college players much better than some of these older guys do. Of course, you know, he doesn't have as much experience as Stud, but he's been successful everywhere he's gone. He was a GA at Florida under Urban Meyer. So, you know, Urban, the one thing Urban knows is run schemes. We know that, you know, very well that Urban's well-versed in how to run the ball. He went to, you know, Temple and Boston College. I believe he was with Day at both of those stops. And he learned under, you know, Steve Adazio, who's a great offensive line coach also because he was a head coach at those places. So, I mean, I think the guy's pedigree speaks for itself, what, you know, who he's learned under. He went over to UCLA, worked with Chip Kelly. His offensive lines, running games have gotten better every year that he's been at a school. Kind of like Jim Knowles, whose defenses have gotten better every year he's been at a school. This guy, you know, he's shown improvement. It's not something that, you know, becomes stale, static, that, you know, it's like doesn't become outdated, that you can't work with it anymore. So I think it's great. I think you know, the blocko on his shirt's going to help with the recruiting. I'm sure he's a personable young guy that can relate with kids. And so I think personality mixed with who he's recruiting for is going to, you know, help him win some of those recruiting battles. I just think maybe at this point of his career, he hasn't been in the right place that he's going to land, you know, multitude of four stars or five stars players. But now that he's at Ohio State, I think we're really going to start seeing his recruiting chops.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I think we kind of talked about this in the last episode or the episode prior, that just, you know, I think that, you know, you kind of need to, with offensive line, you work home first and then regionally, and then, you know, go try to win the battles. You think you can win the battles nationally, you know, and that could be out west. It could be down south. And, you know, just find the guys that are high on you, you know, nationally after you go get, you know, get the base of your offensive line class filled with, you know, guys in this general region. And then, you know, go look out and see what you can find. And I think the Ohio State, as you said, the blocko will definitely help. I think as long as he's got the energy, he's personal, the families like him, you know, Ohio State does a lot of the heavy lifting to begin with. The reputation is there. The reputation's been there for a long time, specifically the last two decades, and it's definitely the last decade. You know, I mean, that's, you know, he's not going to get laughed out of anywhere. I mean, if somebody says that, you know, Ohio State's on the phone, or, you know,
right,
Greg or Justify from Ohio State, you know, goes visits a high school and stuff, he's not getting laughed out of anywhere. So, you know, he can go in there and, you know, so it's, you know, it's just now fine getting his fine too. I think sometimes it's important to have good position coaches that can go out and do these battles, but a lot of times with them, it's, to me, it's, they got to make the first impressions and get in the doors and then hold on to the guys. And then, you know, your head coach and your coordinators kind of make the, you know, they're the ones that they're the ones that finish everything. And, you know, So as long as he can get in there and get some loving going and, you know, get these guys excited, people that possibly want to play for Ohio State, I think he'll do fine as long as he's got the energy. So, yeah. I mean, this is my opinion on it.
And, you know, he has West Coast ties, but he is an Indiana alum. So, you know, he's from over here. So, I mean, that helps him, like what you're talking about, like the inn in the area, you know, make sure you're locking down Ohio first. I mean, not that you would have struggles locking down Ohio because you're the Ohio State offensive line coach, you know, kids want to play, you know, it's the State University of Ohio. That's like, you should be able to get those kids. I mean, that if like losing people, you know, to Kentucky and you're Ohio State and they're in-state kids is just asinine. So,
yeah,
you know, that's something that you should always win those battles. So I don't think he'll have any issues with that, but it's good that he knows this region.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely agree. So I'm excited about that move and looking forward to seeing what he can do. Obviously, the big news has started coming down today. So
Black, you know,
the
defense, Thursday.
Yeah, the defense, you know, Jim Knowles, when he was hired, you know, we knew that there was going to be some changes. Probably we just never knew how deep the changes were going to go. Eventually Barnes ended up leaving, but that's just a one for one replacement, you know, Knowles to Barnes. And, you know, were they going to keep Carey? Were they not going to keep Carey? Were they going to keep Al Washington? Were they not going to keep Al Washington? We all knew they were going to keep Larry. But you know, what's Larry's mindset is, when's his horizon getting ready to set? You know, I think we're definitely have him for this year. I think he would have that decision would have been made by now if he was going to retire. I think he would have went out with this group. But, you know, so it seems like we're pretty solid that he's staying another year. But, you know, that was up in the air possibility whether he was going to make that decision. And the other possibility is what was going to happen with Parker if he was staying. Was he going? Was he being demoted and all that stuff? So seems like he's definitely staying. It seems like when you read between the lines and some of the things I said, that Day really likes him and stuff like that. You know, so, I mean, I've made my comments, you know, my opinions on that one. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. Yeah. I mean, I have nothing against Parker. It's nothing that he was doing wrong that I thought. I just felt that they needed another defensive coach for Knowles to hire. I've kind of backed off of that maybe a little bit now after today, just because, you know, so Carey left, Al Washington left. They end up hiring, or they're in the process of hiring, two secondary coaches, Perry Elanio from Cincinnati, which was the cornerbacks coach down there. It looks like he'll be coaching safeties. And then Tim Walton, who was has been in the NFL for the last like 14 years, but prior to that was in college. It was actually the defensive backs coach for Nick Saban at LSU when they won the title in 2003. So he had some stops in there, a couple stops at Miami,
Memphis,
and he then he went to the NFL. I mean, great things out of great, you know, things are coming out of the NFL about him as a defensive backs coach, and he's a Buckeye alumni. You know, he was here in the early 90s, pretty much was a starter in all 4 years that he was here, and he was a captain in his final year. So, I mean, he's going to have that Buckeye pride with him. So, I'm excited. I mean, kind of sucks to me, kind of losing, you know, it sucks losing Kerry. I mean, I've always been a big Kerry Combs fan. You know, obviously this year was a weird year because he got demoted, you know, whatever, from play calling duties after the second game. You know, I maybe wish maybe that situation would have went maybe a little smoother than it ended up going, but he was a trooper, stuck it out. He's always been open, honest with the media, has great sound bites, you know, always loved his energy. You know, he's been a really good coach on the staff now from his second stint. And so I'm going to miss him, but at the same time, I think it was probably the right moves, the, you know, bring in some new faces, because biases sometimes happen.
Yeah.
You can't get away from that. And I think if Knowles was trying to change a bunch of stuff, and you get some coaches on the staff that kind of revert back to old tendencies because, well, this is what worked in the past. Well, did it really work? And we're changing it. And so I think Knowles needed some new slates. Obviously that new slate wasn't going to be Larry Johnson unless he chose to go. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah. And I agree with you on that. I mean, you got guys, like you said, you know, they'll revert back to maybe bad practices or old practices, you know, what worked before, we're going to do it again. And that's not how it needs to be. Knowles has to be in control of that. He needs that defense to run exactly how he wants to. You know, you don't want them to kind of gang up on you and say, we're not going to call this position or that technique this. We're going to call it this because that's what we've always called it. So you kind of needed that fresh slate. And I also put it on Twitter earlier. I mean, honestly, if you're Al Washington and you're Kerry Combs, I think both of them, I read that they had, you know, it was their choice if they wanted to come back or not. So I don't think Knowles drove them out or anything like that. But I don't know. Like, for me, how could I come back and be on that team if I'm essentially getting a demotion? And, you know, Kerry, what's he going to do? Like, if these guys aren't tip top, is like Knowles going to talk about the old staff or like the old way they did things in a tone that would make Kerry upset? You know, Al, he would still be on staff, but might be working. I mean, Jim Knowles, from everything we've heard, he's taking over the linebackers, which is great. I want him to, but if you're Al, you know, how can you watch someone else coach your guys and, you know, not take something the wrong way if he's pretty much telling them that everything you've been taught is wrong and you got to relearn the position. So I don't think there was a way. I mean, I understand why it took them each, you know, a while to think about this, and maybe why Ryan Day, at the end of the day, him and Jim Knowles had to make the decision for them. It's better though, honestly. I mean, it's better to start off, you know, go clean slate here. Just break the ties with those guys. You got, as far as what we know, I mean, we heard that, yeah, Eliano from Cincinnati, we heard he's a, you know, very aggressive recruiter. He's a great coach. I know he wasn't there the whole time with like Sauce Gardner and Kobe Bryant, but hell, I mean, the one won the Thorpe Award and the other one never gave up a touchdown his entire college career. So obviously he had success with those guys. Tim Walton, you know, what was strange about that is I did read a lot of kind of like criticisms that he didn't move people. I don't think people understand that you don't hang around in the NFL for a long, long time if you don't know what you're doing. And like, I don't, you know, usually secondary coaches, when the head coach gets fired, they don't hang around with the staff. So yeah, I mean, there's movement. If you're, you know, if your head coach doesn't stay where you are, you're going to go to a new team, and that's just how it goes. It doesn't, that's not necessarily, you know, a criticism or indictment on him. That's just his head coach got replaced, so he had to go somewhere else. So I think the guy probably will be able to recruit. He'll be passionate because he is an Ohio State alum. He was either a full-time starter or part-time starter in every single season that he played for Ohio State. So that's awesome. And, you know, I think he'll be fine. He's done it at the college level. It's been a long time, but he's been at the pro level. Sounds like the pros love him, that he's relatable. He wants to make sure they're doing okay. A lot of the same stuff that we heard about Jeff Hafley, you know, when he came over in 2019. So
yeah,
I'm very excited about these.
Jalen Ramsey's one of the best corners in the NFL, and what he made, the comments he made about just how he's one of the best defensive backs coach, you know, he's ever played for. And I mean, that says a lot to me because, you know, I mean, Jalen Ramsey's a great corner, and, you know, Doug Marone had some really good comments about him too. So it's, you know, I'm fine with that. You know, kind of my take on, you know, this, first of all, it does in the end of the day make sense to hire two secondary coaches. You know, I was listening to a little bit of, you know, the Letterman Row guys today talk about this, and, you know, it was either Berm or Austin. One of them brought it up that, you know, it makes sense when you're going to be having five secondary guys on the field, and, you know, three of them are going to be safeties. So it makes sense to have a safeties coach, and it makes sense to have a cornerbacks coach. And, you know, when you think about it that way, I agree with it. And, you know, it definitely seems like, you know, this is going to be a very complex defense that they're attempting to run. And it's all three levels. It's a, you know, it's the line, it's the pressures coming from the linebackers, and it's the secondary. And from everything, what I'm seeing from Knowles' defenses, from what I watch, I mean, you know, he runs that, you know, he either runs a four-man front or he runs that three-man front with, you know, the standing, you know, defensive line, the Leo. But it seems like he pretty much brings five guys almost every time. And so that means somebody's blitzing, or, you know, a couple people are blitzing and a couple people are dropping from the line. A lot of the things I've watched that, you know, pretty much his base defenses are almost five guys are coming almost every time. So, which is a kind of a different thing. So I think you need a lot of different minds in there, and you need to kind of let them gel. And I think with these two guys, they'll be able to gel together. And I think kind of the reasons why they chose the guys they did, the, you know, Cincinnati, you know, you got your young aggressive recruiter there, but at the same time, Cincinnati didn't lose to Alabama because of their secondary.
Yeah, no,
their
secondary
was tough as nails this year. You know, you got a Thorpe winner, you got an All-American on the other side that doesn't give up a touchdown. Plus, they're great at tackling. And, you know, the two things our safeties could really use is better in coverage and better in tackling. And, you know, I mean, how many missed tackles have we seen over the last several years? I mean, outside of really 19, which is kind of it's the odd man out. I mean, we've had a bad tackling defense since, you know, 17 for the most part, you know, I mean,
yeah.
So it's been, I mean, pretty much since Luke left that, you know, the tackling has really, really dropped off on this defense. And so I think that getting a mindset, especially in the secondary, it seems like guys get loose too easily and then they're not easily brought down. And, you know, it's one thing if guys make catches, but if somebody's there at least to make a tackle, or two guys are there to make a tackle, you know, force teams to work for everything they're doing. So I like that hire. With the Wallen hire, kind of my thought process is a lot of this, you know, pattern matching defenses that, you know, he runs. Well, I think he thinks, you know, I kind of maybe need an NFL guy that's been around the NFL for a while, you know, and they checked off a couple boxes. You get a ex Ohio State alum, you get a, you know, guy that has college experience, so he knows what recruiting's like. Granted, it's been a while since he had to do it, but he also knows probably complex NFL coverage packages. And I think a lot of what, you know, Knowles wants to run is kind of that. And,
yeah.
You know, so it probably is not a bad thing to have a guy that could really kind of break some of these concepts down for our secondary, because it's going to be what's kind of expected from him.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I mean, I think that's going to be very important if you get a level of complexity, you know, into this defense. You need to have someone that's kind of seen it all, which Tim Walton has, that he can help teach these guys. Hopefully, you know, and I wouldn't assume you'd get Bill Davis 2.0, but you know, you hope that doesn't happen where it's a guy that just assumes that his guys already know all the complexities to a defense and he doesn't have to go over any sort of like fundamentals or anything like that. So, and I don't think you'll get that. I mean, that's, yeah, you know, that's worst case scenario, but I'm just hopefully you wouldn't get that again. I think these are great hires though. I really do.
Yeah. And, I mean, both of them
in Cincinnati. Really, I mean, they had a third good, they were kind of actually set up like the 2019 Buckeyes. I can't think of the kid's name right now, but they had a good slot cornerback also. So, you know, that's awesome. You know, bring that stuff back. I would love to see this team playing like they did in 2019 again.
Yeah.
But with a little bit more aggression.
And I think the, you know, the big thing with Walton, that hire, like I said, he's seen a lot of different coverages now over his career. And, you know, from everything I'm reading from, you know, from Knowles, is literally the dude will run. I mean, he's primarily cover four, cover three, you know, but he will literally run cover zero, cover one, cover two, cover three, cover four, and even cover five, which is a very rare defense to run. And yeah, like I read today how even he throws the cover five out there, which is basically it's Tampa two safeties and the five underneath guys are all playing man to man. So, I mean, that's pretty, so I think there's going to be a lot of different things they're going to show. I mean, there's even times where he brings in a six defensive back and he runs dimes and stuff like that. Yeah. So I don't think, I think having a kind of an experience, maybe NFL minded coach is not a bad thing to have in it there. And because, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of different concepts thrown at these guys and having somebody that could kind of teach them how to do it is probably very beneficial.
Yeah. And sometimes I think too much about where people are from as far as like regionally recruiting, but you know, it doesn't hurt that one of these guys is from Texas. The other one's from Georgia. So that's, I mean,
yeah,
that's maybe not as big of a deal as what I make it sometimes, but it's still something.
Yeah. And,
but you can't lose it. You can't lose a step on recruiting, because that is something Kerry Combs could do very well. And Kerry was an excellent cornerback coach too. So, I mean, I know you said, you know, your little bit on him. So, you know, of course, you know, I just want to show my gratitude for him as a coach, you know, for my favorite team for all those years, got in all those great recruits that became first rounders. And the guy, I mean, the guy was awesome. He was just pure energy on the field, and just, he brought in some of the greatest era of cornerbacks, maybe at Ohio State. He had a huge part of that. So
yeah,
you can't, and, you know, can't thank the guy enough. He was over his head as a defensive coordinator.
I mean, one thing you could say is, you know, kind of where some of the issues on this defense got started is because he left.
Yeah.
And you know, yeah, they didn't get, I mean, they had basically two straight years where they pretty much got almost no corners and, yeah, you know, and that killed them. And, you know, now they have some younger guys, but, you know, I hope Cam Brown ends up being, you know, what I think he is, you know, Seven Banks, I think is pretty good. You know, it was pretty good. It seems like Denzel Burke's going to be the man. And so it seems like that he's gotten some good, and there's some younger corners now behind him. So it seems like he's gotten some good guys in there that, you know, could bring, you know, some respectability back to the position. Now you got to just get the, hopefully these guys can coach them. And, you know, I am probably the biggest thing I am nervous about is the recruiting. But I hope that, you know, they kind of get the defense just kind of back to where the Ohio State defense needs to be. And then maybe the on-field stuff speaks for itself and, you know, makes it a little easier. And, you know, maybe, you know, they want to be, you know, they get the talent already. And it's like, now it's putting the guys in the correct positions and then letting them do what they, you know, their God given talent, but you know, they have brains too. And sometimes I thought it seems like every time over the last several years, whenever anything would get kind of difficult, they would quickly just revert back to, well, we need to simplify it. And probably in hindsight, maybe they needed to kind of push through if you already had a kind of a crappy defense, maybe you just needed to push through with the difficulty and kind of let them grow, you know, some of their minds. And I don't think they ever let them do that. So it's time, you got to let Knowles do that this time around and let him even if there's some growing pains early next year, and I'm hoping that there won't be, but you know, there probably will be some. And so, you know, let him coach through it, and, you know, they'll only be better by the end of the year. And then hopefully going forward, if, you know, if they're forced to actually learn what they need to do. Last points, for tonight, probably, even though I don't think any of these are technically officially, even though it seems like maybe some of all of them might have already been, their names might already be on the, you know, on the staff directory. But they also brought in three, you know, off the field type coaches, two quality guys and an analyst, all from Oklahoma State, all from on the defensive side of the ball. So, Brent Dibisky, or
I'm saying Zebski. I'm sure it's like Zebski, but yeah, he's an analyst. He was at Oklahoma State last year. I think the 3 years prior to that, he worked at Wisconsin on defense, which, you know, I've always been very high on Jim Leonard's defense. So I think that's awesome. You've had a guy that learned under him, and he's familiar with Knowles for that 1 year. He's coming over, even as an analyst, you know, he can definitely help be a voice to one of those position coaches, kind of let them, you know, terminology, what they're teaching, and help with that position group. So, yeah, I mean,
Michael Hunter is one of the quality control guys. And then the one that everybody's really seems like really excited for, because he was starting to get really high praise. He actually coached the linebackers in the bowl game, was it's Coy McFarland, right?
Yeah, Coy McFarland.
So another quality control guy there, possibly maybe, you know, a future coach on that his staff, you know, if they decide that, if, you know, Knowles in a year or two decides that, you know, he wants to just be defensive coordinator, and maybe, you know, Coy gets a promotion or something like that. So that could always be a possibility. But I like these hires because, like you were just saying with Brent, but they all now have familiarity with this defense. So it's kind of like, you know, you can kind of spread this wealth out. It's kind of like helping these new coaches get on board, like up to date, help Larry get up to date on stuff. So maybe come spring, when they actually get on the field, maybe they all have a basis of understanding. So it's a lot easier to start teaching this. Plus they can teach the, you know, as coaches, you know, that maybe then, it kind of maybe takes out a step that it's maybe easier to start getting transitioned into the defense. Any little thing that they can get down in spring before they get to fall practice is a bonus, because, you know, that's something that they don't have to learn getting ready for Notre Dame. Notre Dame is no picnic game to open up the year against. So, you know, it's, you know, as much as they can get, you know, of the fundamental parts of these defenses down by and through spring, you know, the better they are going forward.
Sure. And yeah, I mean, it's very smart. You start with almost a clean slate as defensive coaches, but you bring in these guys that can help you with these defensive coaches. So it wasn't just like Knowles was just hiring all his buddies to be his defensive coaches, but he got his guys over there. They're going to help everyone get up to speed. So, I mean, this is just a smart move. Like you said, you know, that's going to just streamline the process, help everyone get the terminology, help everyone get the scheme down much quicker. Hopefully then, you know, you're in a decent position next year, because it's going to take some time, especially with all these new coaches and they're all learning something. So you're not going to see the 85 Bears next year. I'll tell you that right now, but hopefully you see some sort of competent defense that plays with, you know, aggression, confidence, speed, and just knows where they're supposed to be. I think you will. I think, you know, home run hires for the team altogether, but definitely I think the most underrated part of this is those three guys coming over from Stillwater that are going to help out.
Yeah.
Very impressed before, you know, we start wrapping things up with, you know, Ryan Day. There was a knack on him that he either only hired coaches that, you know, were already on staff that he worked with, or guys that he had to bring in were just buddies that, you know, he had familiarity with. Knowles obviously broke that mold, and then, you know, he got rid of Combs, got rid of Stud, got rid of Al. Al's his buddy, you know, all the way back from Boston College. And he brings in, you know, has Knowles and him hire people that they have not worked with. So the people that they feel is best for the job that are going to be able to learn this. Of course, Justin Fry is, you know, Ryan Day's friend. They've known each other, but, you know, maybe he has all the confidence in the world with him. And I mean, it seems like a great hire at this point.
And Ryan, and like you were said earlier, Fry has been around some guys that have, I mean, both Urban Meyer and Chip Kelly are known for their run schemes. And so,
you and know, Adazio is a great offensive line
coach. Adazio is a great offensive line coach. And, you know, and Chip over the last couple of years has actually changed up his run scheme. He's become a more of a, even more of a power run team than he kind of was then. But if you think about it, back in the times of the Oregon, they were a finesse team, but, you know, they still had LeGarrette Blount and stuff like that. They still had guys that could play power football. So, I mean, he was never afraid of playing power football when he needed to. And, you know, it was just out of different formations. And,
well, you know, if you look back, I mean, they pushed around Ed Ogeron's LSU defensive line this year.
You know,
it was like, and that's heart of SEC West country, man. That's what they're known for, our big defensive lines. Regardless of
what their final record was, I mean, you know, they have good talent, LSU. So, I mean, they, so there wasn't like, you know, UCLA was expected to win that game or anything like that. And, you know, they pushed them around and they were tough. So, no, I like everything too. And I definitely like the hires of these quality control and the analysts. I mean, I think that kind of at the end of the day, kind of gets me really excited just because, you know, if you kind of think about it, I mean, I know Knowles wasn't coaching the game, but if you would say who's kind of up right now, who's got the advantage going into that opening season game, it's Notre Dame right now, just because he has seen that defense. So, right. I mean, he's actually going to be a little bit more prepared than, you know, we're going to be prepared going into that game, just because he has, I mean, it was the same defense that Knowles ran. It might not be exactly how Knowles would have ran it, but I mean, it was still a formidable defense because it shut them down in the second half. So, you know, Marcus Freeman and that offensive staff there, they're going to have some ideas of how to attack us. So the quicker that we can get our players on board with some stuff, the better they're going to be, because, you know, that is a true thing that, you know, Notre Dame, I think, will be a little bit more prepared to play that game than, you know, at least to go against our defense than, you know, we think that a lot of people think they will be, you know, because they'll have stuff actually on film.
Yeah. I mean, the Buckeyes, ultimately, what they got to be able to do is they got to be in a position that their best players on defense have to be the guys that they trust the most also. We cannot be in a position where we don't have our best players out there because they're the, you know, least bit of a liability on defense. So that's what, I mean, those are the guys you got to get up to speed, because we've seen that a lot over the years where someone else is starting in front of someone that's more athletic than them, because that person understands, you know, the defense better, or they're not a liability and the defensive staff can trust them. I need your best players to be the ones that can be trusted.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, we're going to wrap up here. So I think we're going to, you know, I really want to kind of, you know, I've been reading a lot about Knowles over the last couple of weeks. I think we'll probably over the next week or two, maybe, you know, sometime in the next couple of weeks, I think I'd like to do a kind of a Jim Knowles show, just to kind of break down some of the different things I think we're going to see, just talking about it. I mean, you know, we're not going to necessarily show anything, but just, I mean, it's pretty interesting, some of the stuff that he does. And, you know, I mean, just like in how easily they get off the field this year on third downs. I mean, that right there helps Ohio State. I mean, forget sacks, forget, you know, interceptions and all that stuff. If you can just force more three and outs than they've been forcing over the last 2 years, you know, with the offense you have, I mean, that starts putting teams in a lot of holes.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, anyway, getting the ball back. That's the biggest thing for Ryan Day right now, is get the ball back in his offense's hands.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see where it's going. I think we'll call it a night on that one. You know, just wanted to give everybody our reactions. I definitely think it was, at least on paper, today was a good day. Now we see how that translates to both recruiting and to coaching, because in college football, both aspects are important. And, you know, Ohio State can't take a drop off in either place right now, because, you know, they got to get this defense back up to, you know, the defenses of old. And when I say the defenses old, you don't even have to go back to the Trussell eras or, you know, those that's mid-90s stretch with Cooper. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, 2014, 2015, and 2016 were some very, very good defenses. And, you know, when Fickell was the coach there, I mean, 2013 was kind of an off year, but 2012 was a pretty good defense too. And so, I mean,
right.
Get us back to the spots that we've had good defenses on the field. And, you know, it just kind of seems like 2019 has been that, just the oddball. It's the exception to the rule.
Right.
The rule was not a good rule. So it's been a long time since we've had, just a really consistent stout defense over several years. And I just want to get to that point.
Honestly, and I know you didn't watch the game. I think at the end of the day, I mean, pun intended. I think Ryan, you know, he knows what his offense could do, but I think he saw what Alabama and Georgia looked like in that national title game. And he was just like, I can create a monster, you know, with the players I have on my team. If I can have a defense, anything close like to one of these two, I can have just a monster team and win titles.
Yeah, if he puts a comparable defense out there with them, I mean,
even
if
just like top, within the same realm,
top five defense, you know, he offensively, he's got the players that can score on both those teams. And so it's, you know, it's just defensively, they're just too much of a liability out there. And, you know, I think he saw that, and he definitely saw it against Michigan. He saw a lot of things he didn't like, and, you know, drastic changes needed to happen in his opinion. And they are, I mean, so. Yeah.
And I think that kind of forced his hand this past Monday, that national title game, that he wasn't giving those guys a chance to, you know, change their mind or make a different decision. He realized at that point, I think, that we just need an overhaul of the defense that, you know, that's, I mean, and again, I know you didn't watch the game. Georgia, I mean, they just freaking flew to the ball. Every position group, it was something. I was so envious of their defense. Both of them, Alabama had a hell of a game on defense too. Just, you know, they lost JMO in the first half, and it was just like, eventually, you know, it was just too much weight and it broke their offense. But yeah, I mean, it was just like watching those two defenses just fly around, know where they're supposed to be, just make hits. I was like, my God, this used to be our defense.
Yeah. No, yep. Definitely agree. Yeah, that probably had a lot to do with it. I'm sure, you know, Ryan Day saw that, and, you know, it's okay to figure some stuff out. And I think from, like I said, we'll do an old show. I'm pretty stoked at some of the stuff I'm seeing. You know, just let the, you know, Ryan Day can't freak out. Just let him coach it.
Oh, yeah. And, let him do his thing. It'll end up fine.
They'll end up learning it, and they're only going to be better for it. So
absolutely.
All right. Well, let's get on out of there with that.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for stopping in tonight to the Buckeye Bar. I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
OH.
I-O.